I'd like to testify first. I just can't say enough about how much this church means to me and how many friends I've made. And they're all godly friends. And I'm slowly weeding out all of my old ones. But God has been so good to me. And I just can't hardly wait to get here in the mornings and all these wonderful children on the bus. And I enjoy it. And it just blesses my soul. This song I'm going to sing tonight, I used to sing to my grandkids to put them to sleep at night. So I hope you enjoy it. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord.
That song in a long time. That's a blessing. John chapter number 8 tonight. We'll see if we can figure that out. Amen. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Oh, mercy. John chapter number 8. I want everybody to look on with me. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there and we'll be ready to read. John chapter 8, verse number 33, we'll begin. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. So how sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in his house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Amen. "I know that you're Abraham's seed." All right, we got that? Jesus said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And what they were meaning by that is that God is our father. And that's the tie in there. We'll sit in a little bit. And they answered him and said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. They were thinking that he was accusing them of being what the Bible calls a bastard. We be not children of fornication. Let me find my place here again. Verse 42. You had loved me for, let's see, back up. Where'd I go? 41. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father. And see, here it is, even God. They're saying Abraham. If they're the seed of Abraham, then they are the children of God. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. I wonder why that is. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. Ye are of your father, the devil. And then he describes, how do we know who your father is? Because the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. At times, the resemblance between children and parents is very clear. I'm going to turn this on, Brittany. At times, the resemblance between children and parents is very clear. There is physical features such as the eyes, the nose, a smile, ears, dimples possibly, color of hair. Physical features that make the resemblance between child and parent very clear. At other times it may not be as clear, but one can usually see different types of character traits between children and parents, between children and specifically fathers. Character traits, attitudes, certain ways that the children handle various situations that would cause one to say he or she is just like their father, their daddy. So sometimes there's physical resemblances, and other times there's more character traits that resemble the father. And then at other times, when fatherhood has to be proven, there is what we have today, DNA testing, biological proving of relationship there. Here in the text, in John chapter number 8, there's a dispute concerning fatherhood. Fatherhood. The question arose because there was an absence of physical resemblance as well as no signs of identifying characteristics as to who they said their father was. And so they're hashing this thing out and working through it. You see, they were declaring adamantly that God was their father. The problem, however, was that every outward resemblance, as well as every inward characteristic, identified them as children of the devil. Verse number 44, ye are of your father, the devil. How do I know that? Because the lust of your father ye will do.
And so it identified them as being children of the devil, not the children of God. Now we know that Jesus Christ knows everything. They did not hear. They didn't know that. And if they were told that, they probably wouldn't believe that. And since this dispute could not be determined by human DNA, I believe that when we look at this passage, we can learn here how to determine who their father is. And through these words, Jesus gives identifying characteristics that should have clarified the issue for them. And tonight I want to take these words of our Savior and see if we can make an application as to the all-important question of the hour. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? I was thinking about this. After tonight, I don't know who your daddy will be. But I think you'll know who your daddy is. The beauty of it is found in its simplicity. In fact, it is so simple. This truth is so plain and it's so simple and it's so bottom shelf that it caused our Savior to ask this question in verse number 43. Why do you not understand my speech? I'm speaking to you as plainly as I can speak to you. And yet, you don't seem to understand what I'm saying. It's that simple. Let me say this in the outset, that when it comes to fatherhood and what we're talking about tonight, in this regard, it has little to do with who you are related to, and everything to do with who you're yielded to. Who your daddy is tonight has nothing to do with who you're related to. Has everything to do with who you are yielded to. In verse number 44, we see that the lust of your father ye will do. What do you lust after? You lust after fulfilling the will of your father. Verse number 39, the Bible says, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Your father is determined not by who you're related to, but who you're yielded to. Tonight will have little to do with what you say and everything to do with what you do. When discerning who your daddy is, you want to look at three unchanging marks. Three unchanging marks to determine who your daddy is, to determine who is your father. Because the one who is your daddy, the one who is your father, is the one that you see as your authority. Amen, Brother Brian. The one, I'm telling you tonight, the one who is your father is the one who you see as an authority, and you yield to that authority. Remember, it has little to do with what you say, everything to do with what you do. He wasn't dealing with the things the Pharisees were saying. He was pointing out what they were doing. And what they were doing identified them not as a child of God, but having another father. Because the one who is your daddy is the one you see as your authority. And that authority is submitted to because we choose to allow them that position. Normally because it brings self some sort of carnal pleasure. Now hear me again. Your daddy is the one you place in that place of authority. That position of authority you put there. And sometimes we do it because we receive some sort of carnal pleasure out of it. And so we let it go. I need to remind you there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. Three unchanging marks, only three. Three unchanging marks concerning who your authority is or who your daddy is, because these three marks will never fail. And whatever reason, as far as that pleasure, whatever the reason you allow that person to be in that place of authority, that person becomes your daddy, because when it becomes a choice of being obedient to that daddy or the Heavenly Father, the one you obey is your daddy. Why? Because the lust of your father ye will do. So it's very simple to ask the question, who's your daddy tonight? Who's your daddy? When you have two authorities in your life, and you know one of them is your Heavenly Father, and yet you choose the authority that is earthly instead of the heavenly, that earthly becomes your daddy. Well, who's your daddy tonight? Three things, and I'll mention these real quickly. Number one, whatever the reason, you'll know who your daddy is because you will, number one, you'll always be loyal to your daddy's way. Notice verse number 38. Verse number 38, the Lord, we see it in the Lord Jesus Christ as well as these Pharisees. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. This deals with the way that they operate. And so I use the term that you're loyal to the way of your father. They're walking exactly the way their father tells them to walk. And your daddy is your daddy because you're loyal to his way. Whatever your daddy does is what you want to do. Our Heavenly Father has a way for us to walk in. Verse number 49, we read there, Jesus said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. I honor my Father. Jesus' way was to honor His Father. And there's a lot of people today that they're loyal to their daddy's way. The problem is their daddy's not the Heavenly Father. And God has a way for His children to walk. The Bible teaches us we're to walk in holiness. We are to walk in honesty. We are to walk in humility. We are to walk submitted to the Heavenly Father, being sacrificial just like the Lord Jesus Christ was, and in obedience to the Holy Ghost. That's how we ought to walk. But when we choose not to be loyal to the way of our Heavenly Father, then mark it down, you've done chosen another daddy. And you're going to follow the will of your daddy. Number two, first of all, had you determined who your daddy is, you're going to always be loyal to your daddy's way. Number two, you're going to lust after your daddy's will. We see that in verse number 44, the lust of the father, the lust of your father ye will do. Now, we talk about that word lust. A lot of times we use it in a negative, the wrong way, but if you broaden the term, it simply means you'll desire what they want. Whoever your father is, you're going to desire to do their will. You'll lust after your daddy's will. Your desire will be to fulfill the will of your stepdaddy, so to speak. Your desire will be to fulfill their will. The Heavenly Father has a perfect will for each of us. In Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a will for every one of His children. And God's will is a perfect will, but listen, God's will many times runs headlong against some will of an earthly daddy that we've set up. And the Heavenly Father has a perfect will for us, but when we choose to fulfill the desires of another, when we choose to fulfill desires of another will that's contrary to God's will, then guess what you've done? You've raised up another daddy. You raised up another daddy. Number three. First of all, I said that your daddy will be the one that you are loyal to his way. Your daddy will be one that you lust to fulfill his will. Your daddy, number three, is one that you listen to their words. Verse number 44. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. So if your father's a liar and your desires fulfill to fulfill the desires of your father, guess what that's going to make you be? A liar. You're going to be a liar. You're going to listen to his word so you can be like him. And the Bible says he's a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. See, you hear that? Whoever your father is, if your father is God, you hear his words. If your father is not God, you hear those words. Who's your daddy tonight? Who's your daddy tonight? You listen to your daddy's words. Jesus' words are light and life. It was said when he said, will you also turn away? The disciples said, whitherto shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. His words are light and life. They should mean everything to the child of God. But sadly, far too many of God's children have allowed other voices to rise. Voices that are not the voices of our Heavenly Father. And when we listen and obey those other voices and allow them to be authority over the Word of God, it'll be easy to determine who your daddy is. Because you're going to listen to and you're going to obey those words as opposed to your father's words. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Let me share some areas that I've seen this take place. Look in Ephesians chapter number 5. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. The strangest thing. Well, let me just read. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we see an established order by God. An established order that God created, that God set up. The Bible says, if you're there in 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to be just briefly between these two books of the Bible, between these two chapters. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 3. Now hear me out. If you're not looking at it, listen to me. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Okay? Order. Christ, man. And the head of the woman is the man. So we have Christ, man, woman. And the Bible says, and the head of Christ is God. You see that order? God, Christ, man, woman. Now look at Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll see some of that also there. The Bible says, wives, in verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now no, you can be a man and not be a husband, and you can be a woman and not be a wife, but that order does not change. But it's still that way. It's still man, woman, God, Christ, man, and woman. And in the sense of a marriage situation, it's God, Christ, the husband. The Bible says in verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I know that's That's something that I can already tell when I read that there were some giggles in the room. So I know I'm right on track here. I'm right on track. Because we know that we tend to bucket that kind of stuff. Especially you ladies tend to bucket that kind of stuff. Not into all that submitting to your husband stuff. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. There is an order. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Your own husbands, hallelujah. As unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. God, Christ, man or husband, woman or wife. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, obviously, we know we got to say this because, listen, you can't expect your wife to be the wife she's supposed to be if you're not the husband you're supposed to be. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And I believe that's a pivotal verse there that we have a hard time working through. God, Christ, the man slash husband, woman slash wife, and then, chapter 6, verse number 1, children, obey your parents. Children, how many children do we have in here? How many children we have in here still living at home? All right. That's you then. You could put your name there. Children. I see you over there, Miss Joyce. Amen. Amen. Pray for us. Amen. I'll pray for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. First commandment with problems, amen? First commandment with promise. Now that's an order established by God. Do you understand that tonight? That's not something that should be up for debate. I'm afraid it is too much. Too much reasoning gets involved, too much emotionalism gets involved, too much of man's wisdom and logic gets tied into that, and too much of that was for then and this is for now, and that all gets all messed up. But there's a proper order. God, Christ, the man slash husband, the woman slash wife, children. That's the order. Now, I've noticed of late that order is all jumbled up. All jumbled up. And I believe it leaves us a little bit in a bit of a confused situation, because we're trying to determine who our daddy is. Who's your daddy? I'm going to give you two areas tonight right off, and may give you a third one before we're done. If you're a child in here tonight, I mentioned this earlier. If you're a child in here tonight, I want you to stand up. If you are either 17 years of age and down, stand up. 17 years of age and down. In fact, this is such a good-looking crowd. Y'all come down here. Come stand right here. Come on down here. I need you. Yeah, if you're 18 still living at home, come on up here, Miss Ashton, you'll do. Brittany, you can come on up here too. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, I'm serious. You'll say, don't make me do this in front of everybody. Here's the order. God, Jesus, the man slash husband slash father, the woman slash wife slash mother, and I hate it, guys, children. Y'all don't really have a lot to say. Not according to God. I'm sorry. That's just the way God established it. And don't get mad at me, for sure, because it won't do you any good. And don't do any good to get mad at God. He did this for a reason. But I don't want to preach to them. I want you to look at your parents if they're here tonight. If you're the type of parent that lives to please little Gertrude, I mean, your sole purpose of existence is to make sure that my child has everything they want. My sole purpose for existing is that they always have a smile on their face, and that they just know that I love them, and they can do anything to me, and they can say anything to me, they can throw anything at me, they can yell at me anytime they want, and I'll still love them, and I won't do anything to them. If you're the type of parent that will that'll withhold the tithe from God, so you can buy that video game for little Oswald or little Gertrude. If you're the type of person that, so that they can have fun playing their sports, would keep them out of church. So that they can learn to do this because, hey, my child is a natural and they're going to go on to do great things in the area of sports. If you're the type of parent that, man, they're kind that the first sign of a tear welling up in their eye, you say, what do they want? I got to go get it. Now dad has to work extra hours and mama's got to get a second job and everybody's working because they are the reason that they're existing. If you're that type of parent that your sole desire is that they have their way and that they and that you fulfill all of their will and you obedient to all of their words. Because remember, how do we determine who your daddy is? Because you're loyal to their way. You lust after their will. And you listen to their words. That's who your daddy is. And you as a mother or father have been brought into subjection by the children. And I think these children could look at you in the eyes and ask you this question. Who's your daddy?
Yeah, right.
Who's your daddy? Because, see, I got you where you'll do exactly what I tell you to do. I know you may have a belt. You might be able to do this. You might be able to ground me and try to ground me and all this stuff. But I can make your life so miserable you'll do exactly what I tell you. And your children want to know from you, Mom and Dad, who's your daddy? When it comes to the will of God being carried out in your life, one of the first things comes in your mind is, what do my kids think? If my kids against it, I can't do it. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? If you're honest as a parent and you've been doing this, and you'd have to respond, they are your father.
Yeah, right.
The Bible says that parents are to lead their children. But under God, I've never seen the sights that I see today where every biblical discussion is determined, every biblical decision is determined by what the children want to do. What kind of a mess is that? God raised you up as mother and father to train your child in the way that they should go. They're not able to make these decisions.
That's right.
You're supposed to make them. Listen, if they like it, I'm glad about that. But if they don't, I don't care.
Amen. Amen.
We got to figure out who our daddy is.
And parents, I know you love these little children. I think they're precious in the eyes of the Lord, but they're not your father. And when it comes to determining the will that God has for you, whoever your father is will determine what you do. If your father is these children, you'll do exactly what they tell you. And you would be wrong. You'd be not much better than those Pharisees. They walked in the way of their father. They lusted, they desired to do the will of their father. And they listened to the words of their father. Amen, Mom and Dad? We need to stop determining our walk with Christ to be based on what our children want to do. We keep that up. We'll let every our children are running our homes today. Children are running the homes. We live to make them happy. Where'd that come from? That didn't come in God's order. Remember, I read it to you. I hope you don't disagree with that. I just read it out of the Scripture. God, help me out, children. Who's first? And then? And? Man, husband, father, woman, wife, mother. And then last? Children. Last is? Altogether, last is? So turn and look at your parents and ask them, who's your daddy? Good enough. Amen. Y'all can be seated. It's kind of messed up when the children become the daddies, isn't it? Because according to the Bible, that's what we do. We follow their way. We do their will. We listen to their words. I know you may not like it, but it's the truth. When your children, you know how it is. Every one of us, we're carnal. Our children are so young, and they're fleshly, just like we are as adults. As adults, we learn to kind of we recognize that, and we put up boundaries, and we do what we can. These kids don't know how to do that yet.
Yeah.
And when you teach them at a young age, my goodness, you teach them at Israel's age. Come here, Israel. If he can learn at this age that all I got to do is well up in tears and mom and dad do exactly what I tell them, if I learn that I can just slam the door and punch holes in the wall and throw a fit like I'm a madman, that mom and dad will say, oh, there must be something wrong. Let's get him to the doctor. Oh, let's don't make him so mad. Oh, let's take care of him. You okay? I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then he gets mad and you think it's just because of the way his mind is. Next thing you know, he's running the home.
Yep.
And you're in a mess.
That's right.
You are in a mess when your children run the home.
Amen.
Whenever your kid says, I want to go to this place. And you say, no, we're not going right now. I want to go to this place. I want to go to this place. I still want to go to where I want to go. I want to go. What do you do about that?
Yeah, amen.
We need to teach our kids. By the way, they learn from us. We need to teach our kids no means no. But along with that, we need to do what we say we're going to do. And I don't mean in a negative sense. I mean also in a positive sense. If you say you're going to take them to Chuck E. Cheese or something, by all means, take them. They remember when you lied to them. Well, they just don't understand. You're right, they don't understand. That's why you do it. Or don't say it. But if you say it, do it. Man, even if you got to call somebody to come and take them, you keep your word. Keep your word. What, Brittany wants to go to Chuck E. Cheese? Oh, amen. What else was it, guys? I'll help you out there. As parents, we're supposed to lead the children. But like I said, it seems more and more these days that the children are leading the homes. And in essence, when the children are leading the home, they're your daddy.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you have to bathe every decision that God would have you to do in how are my children going to respond. And I know there's some balance there. I'm not saying that it absolutely doesn't matter. But I am saying what your children think ought not be the determining factor in any way, shape, or form. They're children. And you're supposed to lead them. Now, I won't make you wives stand up. I won't make you wives stand. No, you don't have to stand up. Y'all. Well, it's all right with me. I mean, you got to go home with them, so go ahead. Amen. But I wonder how many henpecked, lily-livered, noodle for spine, mama's boys we have in here, that as father, you allow mama to become daddy. That's messed up. When mama becomes daddy, in this day and age, and I know that what I'm saying is right because I've seen it. I've seen it. Very much like the children do the parents, that order that God established has gotten messed up, and the fathers are now, the daddies are now the children instead of the parents. And their submission to Christ is determined by what the children want to do. I've seen today where a lot of mamas have become the daddies in the homes. A lot of the wives have taken their place as being just under the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands or fathers fired up about something, excited, full of zeal, and have vision, happy in the Lord. And they surrender. They've heard from God. God has spoken to them. Only one problem. The head heifer ain't going to let it happen. It ain't happening. I don't know who's worse. I don't know if it's a problem with a husband who ain't got the courage to lead his wife. Or it's a problem with a strong-willed wife who's adamant about her proper position in the home. Leader.
Amen.
Either one, they're both wrong. Because the order is God, Christ, the man / wife / the man / husband, father, the woman / wife. Got to be careful nowadays, amen. / mother, children. Who's your daddy? Remember who your daddy is? Now go back with me, talk just like with the children. Your daddy, according to John chapter number 8, your daddy is determined by whose way you choose, whose will you desire to fulfill, and whose words you listen to. And I said there's many a husband that have gotten excited about the things of God, full of zeal, And excited and happy in the Lord. They've surrendered. They've made a decision for Christ. They're ready to go with God. And that wife of theirs at home, and they know she ain't doing it. Hey, husband, who's your daddy? And I was going to have, if I was inclined to do it, and you wives can do it if you want to, it's fine with me. You can look at your husband and look him straight in the eye and ask them this question: who's your daddy? And you'd have to be honest and say, you are, dear. You are. Because what you say, I do. Where you send, I'll go. And your desire, I will fulfill. You cowards.
Amen.
What on earth have we become in this day and age? What have we become? Spiritual decisions. Spiritual decisions being based on the approval of our wives. Spiritual decisions. Our God has touched our hearts as husbands to do something. And we know that within our hearts, if our wife says, I ain't doing it, then we say, we ain't doing it. Something wrong with that. We allow the wives to become the heads of our homes. They say, Brother Fisher, I'll promise you I'll do that. And something happens between the time they say they'll do it and the time that they actually are supposed to get it done, and they say, I've changed my mind about it. I think sometimes it's because the wives have spoken. Got a call to the mission field. Got a call to the pastor. Got a call to get involved with the work of God. But the wife said, we're not doing it. What are you going to do? I know what you're supposed to do. Rather obey God than man. I'm there. I think just like children. Now bear with me. You can get mad at me. It's all right. I've been there before. When our children know that there's this little inch that they can get in, and they can have their way with their parents, that tends to grow. Husbands, you know when your wife gets that, it's the same way. Oh, wives throw temper tantrums, just like any child does. Wives go out and suck their proverbial thumbs when they don't get their way. An old husband comes along. Go to your wife and say, oh, baby, I'm sorry. I should have thought about it. You know, maybe I was hasty. Right. That preacher, just, you know, I was caught up in the emotion. You know what? You know what, baby? You know what? You're right. I'm not going to do that.
That's right. Yeah.
And she says, oh, what a good husband you are. You care about me so much. She ought to ask you, who's your daddy?
Yeah. Right. Yes, sir.
Who's your daddy? You are. You know, it's funny, but it's a serious problem. It's a very serious problem. I know, I think what's happened is men have not been the husbands they're supposed to be. Now, as a rule, there's exceptions to all these rules. As a rule, I think it's because men have not been the husbands they're supposed to be. And it puts a wife in a predicament where they're unsettled about following and submitting to their husband. And that requires faith. Faith. My mother's been, you know, she was married to my daddy. My daddy was just a mess. And then she married my stepdad, of course, later on in years, and was married to him for a long time. My dad hurt my mom. That guy hurt my mom. My mom has become so independent that they can't nobody live with her. But my mom's the sweetest lady you'll ever meet. But she's been hurt. Now, my point in that is just that we, I think sometimes we, maybe ladies have trusted in that authority, and that authority has let them down. It's hard to do again. It doesn't take away from the fact that it's God's word. Wives, you are to submit to your husbands, and husbands, you are to lead your wives. Whether they submit or not, you lead them. I've told you before, there come a time in my life where I thought I was going to have to serve God without my wife. That is not an easy place to be. But I'm telling you right now, that's what I had to come to grips with. I understand I, as the man of the house, am going to give account for my home. You know what that means? I call the shots in my home. And I fear that as the generations go along and there's such a time change, we've allowed the women to become leaders of our homes. And our action is determined upon what our wives think, and that is wrong. I'm not saying input. Don't twist my words up. I'm just talking about your decision of who your daddy is. If you say God has called me to preach, and you're willing to yield to God's will for your life, but all of a sudden your wife says, oh, not going there. And you determine, you know what, I'm not going to preach because my wife's not going to let me. Your wife is your daddy. Your wife has become your authority. And where are you going to stop that at? Where's that going to stop? You know, our wives, they want to know that we as husbands, I'm sorry about all you single folks that are here, just bear with me. I might get to that third point. I forgot what I was going to say now. Keep on going. I'm sorry? Yeah, see, this is a way to make sure people are paying attention. If you ever start down that road, you'll have to stop it eventually. Your wife needs to know that you as a husband are ahead of that home. And honey, we're going to do what I think God wants us to do. Now, I want you to be on board. I really do. But whether or not you like it is not a factor. We're going to do what God wants us to do. When she gets up off the floor.
Yeah, amen.
Or maybe when you get up off the floor. I think she will have thought things through and said, you know what? I'm glad I got a husband who leads me, who does what God has for him to do. Why? I'm not telling you a lie here tonight. We determine who your daddy is by whose way you choose, whose will you fulfill, and whose words you listen to. So if your wife comes in above what God has said, it's easy to determine who your daddy is. It's not God. Spiritual decisions without the approval of our wives. We need to grow a backbone and lead our homes, husbands and fathers. Lead our homes. It's hard to lead your wife when you're worried as husbands. Sometimes I think some men have a hard time leading their wives. They're worried about what their wives think. They can't do that because they're worried she might not cook supper for them. If I make her mad, she's liable not to cook the meals that I like. If I make her mad, she's liable to put a little too much spice in my food. That's right. Amen. Stop it, Jimmy. She might not cook you supper. She might not clean your clothes. She might not give you no sugar. Don't that make it sound like you're just a little bitty baby? That's what I was talking about, some sort of carnal pleasure. You submit to your wife because there's something you get out of it. You babies. When it comes to being obedient to God, listen, I said this. When it comes to being obedient to God, you'd be better off learning how to cook your own meals, learning how to wash your own clothes, and stop being bought off by the kisses of a backslidden heifer. Who's with me? You don't have to say anything. So I could have you wives look at your husbands and ask the question, who's your daddy? And your husband have to respond, you are. You are. Why? Because you're loyal to daddy's way. You lust to do daddy's will and you listen to daddy's words. Who's your daddy tonight? Real briefly, the third point, I don't even have any notes on this, but you know who else can be your daddy? Your own selfish will. No man can serve two masters. Or no man can serve two daddies. You're going to pick one. When your heavenly Father has spoken to your heart and there's something that He has for you to do, and you kind of determine, well, listen, that won't make me feel good. You determine, hey, that's going to cost me too much. You determine that's not very convenient. You determine that, man, I maybe I've said in the past that I would never do that, and now God's touched your heart about it. Yourself. When it comes to that order of God, we have God, Jesus Christ, and the man. And the man is subject to his head, that's Jesus Christ. To the will of the Father. Even Jesus Christ said, I must do the works of him that sent me. Even Jesus Christ said, not my will but thine be done, to his Father. He was in submission to his Father. And we ought everyone be in submission to our Father. God Almighty. Who's your daddy tonight? Very simply, I can tell who your daddy is by who you're loyal to, whose will you want to fulfill, and whose words you obey. That's your daddy. Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed.